The inspired writer said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence with singing. Into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. So be thankful and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Can you say amen to that? His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures unto all generations. This morning, dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the fifth message in a series of seven entitled The Seven Great Rooms of Life. We've talked about in this series the emergency room, what you should do when you find yourself in the emergency room. We've talked about the waiting room. Amen. We've talked about the dressing room, the place you got to go to take some stuff off and put some stuff on. We've talked about the classroom. Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher of all time, and we should go into the classroom. Now this morning, lesson number five, we're going to talk about the boardroom. Can you say amen to that? We're going to talk about the boardroom this morning. You say, have your Bibles, turn with me to the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. It's good to see Amber and her little one with us today. We are just honored by your presence, Amber. Amen. Acts chapter 26. And I want to begin reading at the 23rd verse through verse number 29. Acts chapter 23. I'm sorry, 26, thank you. 26. Verses 23 through 29. If you have that, say amen. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and would show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him, but this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. The board room. The board room is a place where boards meet. Amen. The boardroom normally has, or a board normally has, a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. Some board meetings are open to the public. And some board meetings are held where only the members are present. Sometime in board meetings, the chief executive officer and the members of the board discuss the profitability and the performance of a company, and they discuss ways in which they could increase the profits of the shareholders. But I'm using boardroom in this message in the sense of the place where we all have to go to make the big decisions for our lives. It's the place because in boardrooms, and they're saying now as we move toward more gender inclusion and as women now are making the big bucks and holding positions that were exclusively men, that women now are sitting on boards and are making big decisions. Say amen if you can. You might not be able to say amen, but if you can, say amen. But I'm using boardroom in the sense, the place that all of us must go to make the big decisions for your life. It is the place where we must go to make the difficult decisions. Sometime in life, you have to make hard choices. Can you say amen to that? Sometime in life, you have to make important decisions. Sometime in life, you have to make wise decisions. So everybody has to go to the boardroom because man is a threefold being. Man is rational. That is, we can reason, we can think, we can process information. Man is emotional. We can feel stirring and surging emotion that can move us from one end of the emotional spectrum to the other. But not only is man rational and emotional, man is volitional. That is, man is a being that can make decisions. Oh, what a great responsibility and power the great creator has given to man, because every man here can make a decision for his or her life. Amen. And so everybody from time to time must go into the boardroom. Now, a decision is a choice that we make. And sometimes a decision involves two or more possibilities, where I'm choosing between one thing or one alternative or another. Sometimes we get in a situation where it really ain't no good choice. It's just a better choice among two bad choices. Then you say amen to that. Praise God. But we have to go into the boardroom. We have to go into the boardroom. Now, of course, the word choice is an interesting word. A decision, rather, is an interesting word because it comes from a Latin word called decidere, and it means to detach. It means to cut off. It means to end the debate. You see, when you make a decision, you may be mentally and internally dealing with the issue, but at some point, the dialogue has to come to an end. And you have to make a decision. And so in decisions, you may say, well, I ain't going. Well, I believe I will go. No, I ain't going. Well, wait a minute. I might go after all. But at some point, the internal dialogue must end. And one moves into the boardroom. And I'm saying, whether you recognize it or not, you've been making decisions all your life. Even when you were little child, you were making decisions. Mama told you to eat your greens and you wrecked them on the floor. That was a decision. Hello? Mama told me to eat my rutabagas and I put them on the floor. That was a decision. It wasn't a good one, but it was a decision. We've been making decisions all of our lives, and as we mature and move among the continuum and the spectrum of life, then decisions become even more significant. Now, two things I want you to see in this lesson this morning. I want you to see the anatomy of a decision. The anatomy of a decision. And number two, I want you to see the room where we make the big decisions for our lives. Now, when I think about the anatomy of a decision, I'm talking about anatomy. It's the study of the structure of living things like plant, animals, and organisms. Some of you very educated and very sophisticated and versatile members of this congregation have had courses in anatomy. Don't you say amen to that? But I'm not using anatomy. There's a secondary definition for anatomy, and it is a detailed analysis of things. See, that can be an anatomy too. It can be the study of the structure of things, but also it can involve the detailed analysis of a thing. Amen? So, I'm talking about the process by which people make decisions. Now, some people use the eeny, meeny, mighty, mo strategy. Catch a piggy by his toe. That's what I thought. Let him go. Eeny, meeny. But that's not a good strategy to make decisions for your life. Amen. The Bible is a literary masterpiece. It is inspired. It is authoritative. It is the final court of appeals in matters of faith, practice, and doctrine. This book, thank God for this book, can help you so much if you only let it. Is that right? Read it to be wise. Believe it to be saved. Practice it to be holy. And the Bible not only talks about the importance of decision, but it allows us to go inside of people's minds and analyze the process through which they reach decisions. If you decided to marry somebody, didn't you make a decision? But the man said when he was dating the girl, he said, man, he thought she was ice cream and cake. But after he'd been with her a while, he thought she was broccoli and rutabaga. Y'all better come on and talk to me. Amen. Well, let's look at one of the biggest boardroom decisions in the history of the world was made in the book of Genesis. Because Eve went into the boardroom and she made a decision that affects you and me. Well, she had information. You know, when you're going to make a decision, you need the best information. Don't make uninformed decisions. Well, in the Garden of Eden, she had information. God told her, every tree of this garden you may freely eat, but there's one in the midst. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat, you're going to surely die. Third chapter of Genesis, she got some more information. The devil comes along, and notice how crafty and subtle he is. He comes along and says, has God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? You notice how slick he is? That God said, you can't eat of every tree? And Eve replied, God said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the devil gave us some more information. He said, thou shalt not surely die. But God doth know, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now let's look at the anatomy of Eve's decision. If you have your Bible, you can turn along. Genesis 3 about verse 6. Let's look at the anatomy of her decision. Let's look at the anatomy of her decision. We go inside of her head. And the Bible says that after she got her other information, watch this, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Look at the mental process. That's called the desire of the flesh. You ever saw something and you wanted to eat it? Minding your own business, and they saw that big, fat, juicy rotisserie, succulent, delectable, mouth-watering chicken finger. Praise God. Is that all right? You was all right till you saw that. Now she has a new dimension. She has a new perspective. Look at this. She saw it was good for food. Look at the anatomy. Secondly, she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. Second step. Third step. It was a tree desired to make her wise. Look at the anatomy. First of all, she saw it was good for food. The lust or desire of the flesh. She saw it was pleasant to the eyes. The lust or desire of the eyes. It was a tree desired to make her wise. The vain glory or the pride of life. After this process, she's in the boardroom. She's affecting Monyel and Sister Johnson. She's about to make a decision. And after that threefold process, she reaches out and takes the forbidden fruit. And not only does she take it, she eats it. And now, not only does she eat it, then she goes to her husband. Now, don't talk about what he did. He just ate it. We don't get into what he thought or another. It just says she gave it to him and he ate it. Is that all right? And yes, are we still eating it? Praise. Now, you didn't say that, did you? But now we have the anatomy of a decision. Let's look at one more. New Testament. Let's go to in the parabolic genius of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 12, we see a rich man who's very fortunate. Fortune has smiled on this rich man, and his fields bring forth abundantly. His fields explode with fertility and productivity. And now he moves into the boardroom. He says, what shall I do? That's big, isn't it? What shall I do? And Jesus Christ, with his parabolic genius, allows us to look inside of his heart and his mind to see how he came to his decision. He said, what shall I do? You ever get up on Sunday morning, what am I going to wear today? Well, I wore this last Sunday. I can't wear this today. I got to come in there and say, pow. Y'all all right? Is that all right? Sister Jensen, he said, what shall I do? Because I have no space for all my girls. I got more fruits and girls than I could store. Look at the mental process. What shall I do? And then the third step was, Brother White, he reaches out to see. He said, this is what I'll do. This is what I'll do. I mean, he's in the boardroom. He's making a big decision for his life. He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my existing bonds. And I'm going to build some bigger ones. And there will I bestow all of my goods and my fruits. And then after that, he got into a dialogue of self-congratulation. He said, and I will say to myself, so take thine ease. You got goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. But watch this. But God said, you just made a very, very, very bad decision. And let me tell you something. If you're living today in 2013 and you're making decisions that don't include God, you are making some very, very, very bad decisions. Is that all right? Your decision making must include God. If it does not, you are making some terrible decisions. Here's a final point. The place where we make big decisions. How many of you have made a big decision in your life? How many of you have ever made a decision you regret it? I can't hear you. Have you made a decision you regret it? And if you could turn back the hands of time, if you could do it over, would you do it over? You do it the same way? If loving you is wrong, I don't. Oh, I forgot where I was. Amen. Amen. Well, William Ernest Henley in Invictus made a powerful statement. He said, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Do you know that's true? Did you not know you are the master of your fate? Did you know this morning you are the captain of your soul? Do you know why? Because you make decisions for your life. Is that right? And you see, you decide. Did you not know you're going to decide whether you go to heaven or hell? Did you know that? Ain't nobody going to just send you to hell. Hello? You going to hell because you want to go. No, I ain't. Can I prove it? Come up here, Brother Wyatt. Turn to Acts 13:46. Let me show you that I am the master of my fate. Hello? Did anybody make you become a member of the Church of Christ, or did you do it on your own? Weren't you the master? Was you in charge? When you got baptized, who made you get baptized? Didn't you decide yourself? That right? I can't, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Acts 13:46. Let me show you that we are the masters of our fate. We are the captains of our soul. We are in the boardroom. Amen. I decide whether to be faithful or not. Hello? What did Toni Braxton say? Love with a... That's what I thought is what she said. He decided to go home, and not only to go home, to bring his money home. Y'all all right? You have it, Brother Wyatt?
Then Paul and Barnabas.
Watch this. Then Paul and Barnabas
waxed bold.
And said,
It was necessary
that the word of God
should first have been spoken.
How many this morning have heard the gospel?
Amen.
And what it's offering you? Did you know the gospel is offering you a home in heaven? How many of you have accepted that? I can't hear nobody. How many of you have turned it down? I don't want to go. It was necessary. Come on.
That the word of God should first have been spoken to you.
These are Jews that first should have been spoken to you.
But seeing you put it from you.
You are the what? Master of your faith. You in the boardroom. You in charge. You decide what your future going to be. You decide whether you're going to have a mansion, robe, and a crown. You decide whether you're going to walk streets of gold. You decide whether you're going to live in the presence of the living Christ. You are the master. You are in the boardroom. Eve decided to reach out and take that apple. Did I say apple? I mean forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it was. Is that all right?
It's all right.
Read it, Brother Wyatt.
And judge yourselves.
How many this morning have concluded I'm not deserving of eternal life? Boy, that's heavy, isn't it? Isn't that heavy? How many feel like I'm gonna give myself a chance to have eternal life?
All right.
Is that all right? I want to be saved. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I want to go to heaven.
Yes,
I'm the master of my faith. I'm the captain of my soul.
Yes,
I can decide for moss. Is that right? That's why I tell the Lord. Let me tell you. I tell the Lord, forgive me of all my sins.
Amen.
I told him that last night before I went to sleep. Because I may have slept the sleep of death.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know. Woke up this morning, Claudia, the blood still running warm in my vein. My heart still palpitating. My blood still circulating. My mind still regulating. And whenever I wake up in the morning, I said, thank you.
Because
I sure didn't have to. But oh, before I go to sleep at night, I said, Lord, since you didn't put it in my hand, since I'm the master of my faith, I'm the captain of my soul, Lord, wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Is that all right? Read it, preacher. What did it say?
And judge yourselves.
Unworthy.
Of everlasting life.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Who in here would judge themselves? And let me tell you something. Some of us, by the way we're living, we're judging ourselves unworthy of eternal life. I mean, you really can't say I'm serious about having eternal life and I'm doing everything I want to do. And that's the truth. You have judged yourself
unworthy of everlasting life.
For a long time, we fought for equality in the African-American community, and we wanted to not merely be on the bus. We wanted to sit wherever we wanted to sit on the bus. We wanted to be able to go to the finest schools, to live in the best neighborhoods. Is that right? And we said, as a race of people, we're deserving of that. Is that all right? But how many can say, I'm deserving? Jesus Christ has given me the right to eternal life, and I'm going to count myself. I'm in the boardroom. It's my decision. I'm going to count myself worthy of eternal life. All right, and I'm not going to push the gospel message away from me like it's a joke. This is serious business. I'm the captain of my fate. I'm the master of my soul. Is that every time the gospel is preached, every Sunday, somebody goes into the boardroom. Somebody has to make a decision. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that and is shall, that's a decision you make. Is that right? He that believeth not, if you don't take it seriously, then you don't count yourself worthy. Joshua in the Old Testament went into the boardroom, made a big decision, Brother West. He said in Joshua 24 about verse 14 and 15, he said, you decide whether you're going to serve the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood or the false gods in Egypt. Now to some of y'all, it doesn't seem like a good idea to serve God. How many think it's a good idea to serve God? Now, to some folk, that's not a good idea. If it seems evil unto you to serve God, some of y'all gonna go to the gods that your daddy served on the other side of the... You see, even Abraham came out of idolatry. Did you know that? The man who's called the father of the faithful had to leave his kingdom. Sometimes you got to get up and get out of there. Sometimes members of your own family will mess you up. Preach, Moss. Huh? Sometimes members of your own family don't want to see you survive. You think just because that's your blood brother and blood sister, they want to see you go to the top? Oh, I know. I may be getting too deep this morning. I don't know. This may be too heavy. Everybody doesn't want to see you. They want you to make some bad decisions. You got to know who your real folks are. Y'all know who your real folks are? They smiling in your face all the time. They want to take your place. See, I know y'all know it. Huh? And they also said, don't be calling me brother, skinning and grinning. And you done stole my CD player. And yet you call me brother when you don't really mean it. Is that all right? Abraham had to leave some folks and decide, I'm going to follow the true God, the real God. There's a real God. His name is Yahweh. Yes, he sits high and he looks low. And I'm going to serve. I want a relationship with the real God. That's what I want. It's my choice. He has, as Brother Wyatt prayed, the real God who made the world, who made the rolling hills and the flowing stream, who took a splendid coat of colors and wrapped it around the shoulders of the rainbow. The real God who made the valleys and the streams wants a relationship with me. And so he said, go into the boardroom and decide what you're going to do. So Joshua says, if it seem evil for you to serve the real God, some of y'all going to serve the God that your father served. Some of y'all going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But watch this boardroom decision. But as for me and my house. Oh, isn't that awesome? We will serve the Lord. Boy, that's huge, isn't it? How many can stand with him and say, as for me and my house, we're going to be in church every Sunday if we can. And by the way, I want to let you know, if you're not in church and you can be in, that is a sin. I need to say that. Hello? Because the Lord said, meet me every... What did that say? What did that say? And what? Of who? Who's the me? So every Sunday, we ought to be at this table. Hello? Every Sunday, we ought to be at that cup. Is that right? He said, do this in remembrance of me. Is that right? I'm moving to a conclusion, but let me say this to you, my dear brothers and sisters. Let me say this. Too many people in the boardroom trying to serve two masters. Yeah. Too many people in the boardroom are like James say, they're double-minded in all their ways. It's sort of like the woman in that song, and they asked the lady, and they said, are you married? And she said, sometime. Did that get too heavy for y'all? How you gonna be married sometime? Ain't that a full-time thing? If you're gonna be, how you gonna be a part-time Christian? Hello? Now watch this. How many this morning, are there some things in your life that you have fully made up your mind about? Is there? Are there? That's more correctly. Are there? Some things you, are there some things in your life you are fully persuaded about? Are you? Amen. Let me give y'all one. This is kind of trippy, but I'm a fully persuaded Alabama fan. You hear that, Samayme? I didn't see it coming myself. Fully persuaded. We need some fully persuaded folks. Amen. Let me tell you about a beautiful story. There was a man named Abraham. He's called the father of the faithful. And he's awesome. Brother Sperling read it so beautifully. It speaks to us today. It says that God made him a promise. Now, let me ask you something. When God makes you a promise, how do you react? If God makes you a promise, what do you do? How does God promises affect you? But one promise, he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Does that affect you? It should, shouldn't it? But now, when God makes a promise, does that promise grab you and affect how you think and how you behave? Because the hope of eternal life keeps keeps me holding on to God's unchanging hand. Well, God made a promise to Abraham. He told him, you are going to be the father of a nation. Abraham was 100 years old. His body, in terms of reproduction, was dead. And yet the Bible says he did not consider the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was 100, she was 90. And God said, you're going to have a baby. What? 100-year-old man, 90-year-old woman who's never had a child. And he promises, you're going to have a baby. Amen. But he was strong in faith, fully persuaded, giving glory to God. Strong faith, weak faith can't glorify God, but strong faith glorifies God. Weak faith can't magnify God, but strong faith magnifies God. Weak faith says all over, we can't do no more, but strong faith says it's just begun. Is that all right? Strong faith says it ain't no way, and weak faith says it ain't no way, and strong faith says I'll make a way out of no way. Is that all right? Let me tell you about King Agrippa, and I'm going to close. King Agrippa, Paul, that golden mouth, silver tongue preacher, was preaching with so much power and intensity that Festus cried out, Paul, much learning has drove you crazy, Paul. Paul was a learned preacher. And Paul said, no, no, no. I'm not mad, O noble Festus, but I speak words of soberness and seriousness. And he said, King Agrippa, I know you believe the prophets. And King Agrippa said, boardroom, y'all, boardroom, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let me tell you something. Almost ain't good enough. You almost got the job, but you still unemployed. You almost paid the bill, but the bill ain't paid. You almost got married, but you still single. You almost won, but you still lost. You almost got well, but you still sick or might be even dead. Is that all right? Almost, you almost left town, but you still here. Is that all right? Almost ain't. You almost repented. I started to get up and make a confession, but you didn't. And you're still in your sin. I almost got saved, but you're still lost. Somebody saying, I almost, they almost hired you. It was you and one other person, and they just had two more points than you had. Almost hired you, but you're still without a job. I tell you, almost. He was in the boardroom, Wes, and the best he could say was, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. I'm closing this morning, but I hope that if you're in the boardroom, remember, you are the master of your faith. You decide whether you go. How many want to go to heaven? Do you know God has left it up to you? Is that awesome? You can go. If you want to go, you can go, can't you? Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that good news? I'm glad this morning that sometime, Wes, I have to go into the boardroom. Sometime I have to make the big decision for my life. Sometime, Sister Sperling, I have to make some hard decisions. Is that all right? Sometime I have to make some difficult decisions. Sometime I have to make some important decisions. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ helps me as I go into the boardroom. Is that all right? I'm so glad this morning that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine separate me from the love of Christ? Shall nakedness or sword separate me from the love of Christ? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. We need somebody this morning that's fully persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities or powers, or height nor depth or things to come shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Is that all right? Somebody ought to make a decision about Jesus Christ, because he's in a class all by himself. Is that all right? In manhood, he ruled the elements. In manhood, he defied the law of gravitation because he walked on the water. Is that all right? The wind obeyed his voice, and the sea shut up when he said, "Peace be still." Is that all right? You don't have to be an astronomer to know that Jesus Christ is the day star of eternal hope. Is that all right? You don't have to be a geologist to know he is the rock of ages. Is that all right? You don't have to be a shepherd to know he's the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Is that all right? You don't have to be a botanist to know he's a lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. Is that all right? You don't have to be an electrician to know he is the light of the world. Is that all right? You don't have to be a baker to know he is the bread of life. Is that all right? You don't have to be a carpenter to know that he is the door of the sheep. Is that all right? You don't have to be a musician to know he's the harmonizer of all life discord. And I choose Jesus. Is that all right? I choose Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior and as my friend. Is that all right? I choose the Son of God because he chose me a long time ago, and I choose him as my. I want to live with him. I could die any moment. All of us sick enough to die. Hello? And somebody said, every pain is a telegram from death. Would you stand, please? Is there anybody here in the boardroom? In the boardroom. Remember, this is your time. Now, I am the what? Say it with me. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So here's God's invitation. What you going to do about it? What are you going to do with it? If you're a child of God and you know you ain't living right, God said you can get it right. Amen. Three beautiful steps. Repent, confess, and pray. And that gets you back in God's good grace. Why leave it a day doubting your salvation when you are the master of your faith? If you're not a Christian, five beautiful steps. Don't let folks tell you to pray a sinner's prayer. That's not the way. We don't mean no harm, but we must tell the truth. You must hear the gospel, how Jesus died for you, was buried, rose for your justification. You must believe that with all of your heart. John 3:16, you must repent of that, of your sins. Acts 17:30, you must confess the sweetest name to roll from mortal tongue. Romans 10:9-10. And yes, this is a stumbling block for a lot of people, but you got to be immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We're buried with him in baptism. We put on Christ in baptism. Now, I got two more rooms to talk about, y'all, if the Lord bless me to see it. The dark room and the operating room. Yeah, two more. And that'll be it. And I hope you've been blessed by these seven great rooms. Now, right now, you're in the boardroom. What you going to do? Are you going to make a decision this morning to get your life right? Do you need prayer this morning? Do you need to make a decision to ask the church for prayer? You going through something? Everything okay? Well, all these folks going to be talking about it. They talk about you anyway. If you ain't doing nothing, won't he do something? If you're doing too much, won't he sit down doing too much? Is that all right? That's just the way it is. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he. I gotta thank you, Jesus gave me. I love him. I really love. Oh, I really love the. Yes, I do. I really love the. You don't. I just gotta thank you, Jesus. I love him. I love. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the. Yes, I am. I'm going to praise the. You don't know. You don't know. Yeah, I gave me the. Maybe seated. I love him, I love him, I love the.